Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the commanders of the divisions that served the king, and the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the overseers of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, with the officials and the mighty men, even all the valiant men. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, so I had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood. Yet the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be a leader, and in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. And I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances as is done now.' So now, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord and of the hearing of our God, observe and seek after all the commandments of the Lord your God in order that you may possess the good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous and act." Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its inner rooms, and the room for the mercy seat, and the plan of all that he had in mind for the courts of the house of the Lord, and for the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God, and for the storehouses of the dedicated things. Also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the utensils of service in the house of the Lord. For the golden utensils, the weight of gold for all utensils for every kind of service. For the silver utensils, the weight of all silver for all utensils for every kind of service. The weight of gold for the golden lampstands and their golden lamps, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, and the weight of silver for the silver lampstands, with the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand, and the gold by weight for the tables of showbread for each table, and silver for the silver tables, and the forks, the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and for the golden bowls, and the weight for each bowl, and for the silver bowls, and the weight of each bowl, and for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the model of the chariot, even the cherubim that spreads out their wings and cover the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details of this pattern. Then David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Now behold, there are the divisions of the priests and the Levites, and for all the service of the house of God, and every willing man of any skill will be with you in all the work for all kinds of service. The officials also and all the people will be entirely at your command." Amen. Okay, so now we get to David's address towards the people. And so he gathers all the leaders, the princes, all the leaders of the tribes. He brings them all together to this place, and it's basically the same refrain that's given over and over and over again, which is obey the Lord. And I'll get to that in a moment. I'm going to talk the rest of our time. We're going to talk about that. But he first states off and he says, well, I had a plan to build the house of the Lord. That was a command of God. In other words, God put that on his heart. But at the outset, he was not the one to do that. And the reason why is because the temple and Solomon play a very strategic role. The first part, dealing with the temple and Solomon, is they are what we call a type of Christ. They are a figure that points to something else. And so it's very important that Solomon builds the house because Solomon, when he builds, he actually has peace over his whole reign. The house of God is going to be built by the Prince of Peace. And that's basically, it's a type of Christ, meaning it's a foreshadowing of what's to come. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so it's imperative that God's house also is the place of peace. And so as a result, he has nothing against David. David's mission was to gain territory. His mission was to fight, was to shed blood to bring us to this point, where now he passes off to his son Solomon, and there becomes a permanent dwelling place of the Lord, the place of peace. And so it's imperative that the man who builds this house is also a man of peace. And it's amazing that David did such a good job over his territory that through the life of Solomon, he had peace. There was not one war that happened during Solomon's reign. And so all this is going on, and it's to really show what kind of place God's house is going to be like. It's going to be the place of peace. It's going to be the place of shalom. You should be able to walk in any church, any place that calls itself a house of God, and immediately you should be confronted with his peace. That goes into actually the whole architecture of this sanctuary. When I sat down with our architect and he was asking about church, and you know, it was imperative that when we wanted people to walk into the sanctuary, the highlight of this whole sanctuary was actually the cross that's right behind me. And so next time you get a chance, walk in, and you'll notice even the beams actually just point towards, it's kind of like an arrow, and it points straight towards the cross. And it's that place, this is God's house. This is the place of his cross. This is the place of peace that God had given to us. And it's that's why it's so important. That's why when we actually take on little more ideas of what Paul is saying, as he's through his epistles, he's writing about the life of the church, that he says there should be no strife, that brother and brother should be at peace. Even Jesus says, you know, as you're worshiping the Lord and offering a sacrifice, if you know that there's enmity, you know that there's some straining of relationship, he says, leave your sacrifice, go and make amends, and then come back and offer an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. You realize that, man, God is really serious about this peacemaking that he's asking us to do. That the house of the Lord is the place of peace, and it's really the place of shalom, and peace is very different than what the world offers. You know, in the world, they get two world forces together, and okay, I'm not going to kill you, you're not going to kill me. That's basically what is typically the truce. You know, that's basically what the UN does. That's not peace. That's just absence of murderous conflict, but that's not peace at all. And so God asks us to bring peace into this world. Right? He is the Prince of Peace. That's his whole ministry in many ways. Jesus Christ came to be the mediator between man and God, to be the peacemaker between man, our sinfulness, and God's holiness. And we see that this becomes a primary mission. And so peace, in this way, if we're going to use the Hebrew word, is that word shalom. And it basically, the word is so powerful. It means so many different things. But what it basically means is every part of your life in harmony with one another and harmony with God. It's perfect. In many ways, it's a state of perfection that God had intended for us. And that's the shalom that he wants to have in our lives. Okay, that's one side. The other big theme in this chapter is obedience. And look what he says here. Verse 7, and I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances and is done now. And so David, as he's making this plea, firstly to the people and then to his son Solomon, but as he's making his plea to the people, he's reminding them that God is the one who chose him. God is the one that chose him out of his tribe, and then out of his many, many sons. And by the way, this will create a lot of issues for David, but God chooses Solomon to be the one that would carry on, because Solomon is the man of peace in that regard. He's, like I said, the type of Christ. And so, but we see this connection that happens here, and I hope that you guys see this connection as well. And because I know a lot of times these words in our culture are so negative in so many ways. Commands, commandments, obedience, submission, all these things, to a lot of people, it creates a lot of issues. But see, I want you to understand the heart of God as it pertains to his people. And so when we talk about the chosen and we say the Jews are chosen, that's a huge thing. And so, you know, if I'm being honest, the only reason I did the DNA test is I was hoping that I had 1% of something Jewish in me, so I could also consider myself chosen, but I'm not. I actually found out I'm more Japanese than I thought. But in any case, the choosing, and what you have to catch this. The choosing was not just simply, oh, you are the people of God. No, the choosing was, to the Israelite mindset, it was, wow, God chose us, and part of that choosing is God gave us the law. He did not give this law to anybody else on the face of the earth. We were specifically chosen with this law, and we were granted the incredible pleasure and the incredible joy and the privilege of obeying this law. If you go through the philosophically, it's what we call Hodism. And Hodism simply said is, because I am chosen, I obey. It's different than legalism that says, well, I obey so I could be chosen or so I could be loved. It's totally different things. And so the Jews recognize, oh my goodness, we are chosen. God handpicked us out of the face of the earth so that we can obey the commandments of the Lord. And so all throughout the Old Testament, and even moving into the New Testament as well, it's this simple idea that if you obey the Lord, which is our privilege to obey the Lord, it is our absolute desire in our heart. It's the very foundation of our life. And we get to serve the Lord. We get to obey the Lord. It's not a burden to us. The Old New Testament says the commandments of God are not burdensome. And so they're not a burden to us. They are a burden if we have authority issues. Yeah, they're definitely a burden if we have submission issues. When we're walking in the orphan heart, yeah, for sure. But when we walk as sons, it's a totally different ball game. Oh my goodness, I get to obey the Lord. I get to submit to the Lord. I get to serve the Lord. It's a totally different thing. It came out of their chosenness, that they were handpicked on the face of the earth to obey God and his commandments. The commandments were a blessing. That's why they could tell their sons through Deuteronomy, hey, you know, let this word, you know, meditate on it day and night. Teach your generations. Pass it on again and again. What? Pass what on? The law. Pass on the commands of God. And this simple equation, don't ever forget this, church. This simple equation, obedience equals blessing. Obedience equals favor. Obedience in the kingdom of God equals success. Faithfulness. That's how he put these things together. And you see this and you think, oh, PSAM, that's old covenant. I don't know what you're talking about, right? You know, we're no longer under the law, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Well, let me read you some quotes by Jesus, the author of the new covenant. He says in John 15:14, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. The next verse, he ratchets up a whole another level. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. So simple. Second John, John the Beloved. Now remember, John the Beloved, under inspiration, he says, this is love. that we walk in obedience. That's what he calls love. Luke 11:28, Jesus says this in part of his sermon there. He says, "Blessed are they rather those who hear the word of God and obey it." Obedience, this thread of obedience runs all along through the commands, the sayings, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed. We are privileged. We are honored to obey the Lord. It is our absolute joy and pleasure that we get to obey. And the beautiful thing is when you really get to the heart of it, the obedience, the commands of God, what he asks us to do, is actually meant to protect us all along. Some of you guys have done Experiencing God with me. You would have known one of the sections that Blackaby talks about obedience and talks about commands in this way. And if you remember in one of the units, he talks about the sin of adultery. And he goes, listen, this is how God's going to protect you. God has an incredible relationship in mind for you. One of the most intimate relationships with your spouse. And out of that love, out of that choosing, out of that love, God's going to bring children that'll be born through that love. And your child, your little daughter is going to sit on your lap one day and say, "Daddy, I love you so much. You know, you're the best." We were privileged to do that. I was in Beijing over the weekend, but it was Father's Day. You know, and it was such a blessing. You know, every one of my kids, I mean, except Andrew, you know, he's still a little young. But every one of my kids came up to me, you know, and gave me a little handmade gift. We stopped buying gifts in our home. And so we asked the kids to hand make stuff now. And so they handmade me these beautiful gifts, you know, origami and all these things. And each one of my kids came up and, you know, gave me a huge kiss and hugged me and say, you know, thank you. Happy Father's Day. Thank you for being my daddy. I love you. I mean, you know, you can't pay for that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And stuff. And he says, and that's what this intimate marriage, this intimate relationship that God has ordained for you to have. These kids are going to come and tell you that they love you. And so now, with that as a backdrop, God says, so don't commit adultery. Because it's going to ruin all that stuff. It's going to bring a hemorrhage between you and your relationship with your spouse. Your kids are going to be broken and turned away from you in that way. And so Blackaby asks this question, is that command there to limit you or to bless and protect you? Of course it's to bless and protect us. As all the commands are meant to be that way, because it's birthed out of that place of love. And the reason why we struggle with commands and obedience is because, I mean, I have a personal hypothesis, and I think it's because we don't understand the heart of God. We don't understand who he is, and we don't understand the character and the nature of our Father that wants to bless us and wants to preserve us and wants to protect us in that way. And once you get his heart, I think obedience is easy. Once you get that trust, like you really trust the Lord, man, okay, God, you want me to go where? You want me to do what? Sure, because you know that he has our best interests in heart, our best interests in mind. Right, it's so important. It was the privilege. He turns to Solomon, his son, and says, "As for you, my son," this is verse 9, "know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him." This is, maybe taught this before. This is John Calvin's great doctrine of accommodation. And this idea, this doctrine basically says God is unsearchable. God is inscrutable. God is unknowable in essence. But he makes himself known to us. The idea he accommodates himself for us. Even though God is God, you know, he is so far beyond our natural minds, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God, but he puts the Holy Spirit in us, and so he allows us to for him to be known. And so in this way, if you seek him, he will let you find him. Isn't that a blessing? He will let you find him. He accommodates himself. He comes down to our level. He is the word becomes flesh. He comes down to our level and we can know and understand him primarily through the words, the deeds, the actions of his son. But if you will forsake him, he will reject you forever. There's blessing in obedience, but there's also a curse in disobedience. All right, so let's close our eyes. I mean, just another quick note. You know, when he says that all the plan that he had in his mind, I don't want you to think that David figured out all these plans. This actually was given to him by revelation, and you could read other passages in the Old Testament that deal with that. And so let's go to the issue of commands, obedience, submission. If we're struggling with that with our Father, I want to suggest to you that maybe there's something else going on in our heart. I want to suggest to you that there's probably some misunderstanding of the heart of God. Maybe some misrepresentation. And so if you struggle with obedience, commands, submission, maybe it's time to start a conversation with our Father and saying, Lord, let me know your heart. Maybe there's some trust issues that need to be repaired and built first. As we sing this song together, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today.
The king of my heart be the wind.
pray this morning. If there's anything in your life right now, maybe there's an area of disobedience. You know God's asking you for something, and you're either unwilling or you're delaying. Remember, delayed obedience is disobedience. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Again, maybe there's a heart issue going on. Maybe there's a lack of trust. And just talk to the Lord about it this morning. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for the word of healing and the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Thank you. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask for just the Spirit of the Lord to continue to breathe over this land. Let's continue to cover the churches and ministries as different laws are being passed all the time. Let's pray for our church in Beijing. Let's pray for Pastor Hyunsu and their family. He came back. We had an incredible retreat. About 250 plus came out to the retreat. And let's just continue to ask the Lord to do His deep work in their life. Let's pray for SP Shanghai as well, Pastor Ricky. He's in Beijing for about 3 months. And let's pray that he would acclimate, and Steph, that would acclimate well to China and the air and language and all that kind of stuff. And let's just cover them. Let's cover the Chung family, Maiden Nate's parents. Let's just lift up churches all over China that the gospel would be preached powerfully. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Lord to just really bless and guide and give wisdom to our men and women that are leading our church. And let's pray for protection over their spouses and their families and just favor at work, that really time would be released so they could devote themselves to the building up of the house. Let's cover. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. So let's pray for our young adults and Yahweh Eats, that God would continue to connect them to one another. Let's lift up our men's ministry, Monday prayer, men's fraternity, and the Conqueror series study. Let's ask the Lord to draw them together. And also the women's ministry, pray for lift. Let's ask that God would really knit others to one another. Let's pray. Let's pray for SP 2.0. You know, this is 1.5. This is our temporary destination. Let's pray for a new building and resources. Let's pray for our vision fund that will continue to grow. Let's pray for the Lord would send a benefactor. This is a prophetic word that we got from Cindy Jacobs many years ago. And let's pray for the last parts of the third floor renovation. The handover happened, and so let's pray that all the loose ends will be taken care of and our kids can enjoy their new premises this weekend. Let's lift up. Let's pray for house church meeting tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders Island, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, and TST. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be leading and guiding. This is our second to last meeting before we go on our summer break. And let's pray that God would really draw us to Him. We would just really sit at His feet and that we would really connect with one another. And lastly, let's lift up our retreat next weekend before the Lord. Let's pray for RT and for Bobby. Let's pray that the messages that they preach would be powerful and really impact us. Let's pray for all the logistics, the buses, and pray for our people that are coming, that they wouldn't get sick last minute. You know, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Let's pray for schedules to be opened up. I spent the day with RT last week in London. And he's pumped. He's so ready. He actually just emailed me yesterday, and he told me that he's already got Friday night's message. He had just finished it that weekend, and so he's bringing fresh bread to us. And so we're so excited. Let's just cover this retreat and pray that we really encounter the Lord. Lord, we just thank you, God. We love you so much. We thank you that you chose us, God. Lord, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen race, Lord God. You handpicked each one of us, Lord God, to walk in your purposes, Lord, to walk in your ways, to obey your commands, God. And so, Lord, if there's any aversion in our spirit, God, in our soul, Lord, to obedience, commands, submission, God, I pray that you would minister so gracefully into our hearts, God, that begin to seek through the roots, Lord, of maybe distrust, God, or misunderstanding, or even hurt and trauma, and that you would heal us, God, and so we can come to that place, Lord, of obedience, which is the path to blessing, God, your blessed life. And so we thank you, Lord. Watch over us. We're excited, God, about all the things that you want to do, Lord, throughout this week, through us, to us, and through us, God. And so we bless you, Lord. We love you so much, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.